Well, welcome back. Welcome to session number 3, the difference between success and failure. We're going to learn exactly why some people succeed and why some people fail. So let's get to it. Today is a longer session than the ones before, but we've broken it down into 2 parts for you. First, we're going to talk about the power of beliefs and what they mean and how they affect you and how they affect people, especially people that are successful and people that aren't successful, so that you can know the difference. And in part 2, we're going to be talking about the importance of managing your state and give you some great examples and exercises and tools to do this. So put yourself in a peak state now, put a smile on your face, get excited, and get ready to go. And let's find out what creates the difference between success and failure.
What's the real difference between success and failure? Between happiness and depression? Between people who experience poverty and the pain they associate to not having choice, and those who have true wealth, emotional, social, and financial? Why is it that some people seem to have every reason why they could be happy and yet they're still depressed and sad? Why are there other people who have every justification to be sad, yet they live this happy, joy-filled life? What makes up the difference in human behavior and emotion? Why do people behave and respond so differently? I believe the real answer is beliefs. That is, what we believe, the meaning that we feel certain will come from situations, determines how we're going to behave and what we're going to do. You know, oftentimes I've had the privilege and the ego stroke of someone saying to me, well, gosh, you're so successful. What's the difference between you now and when you lived in Venice? And I usually tell people, I say the difference is a sense of urgency. At that time, I didn't have a sense of urgency. Why? I didn't think anything I could do would make a big difference anyway. My belief was you could do everything right and it could still turn up wrong. And since I had that belief, I wouldn't give 100%. Why do that and then have the pain of failure? Think about it. All of a sudden, I changed my beliefs. My goals at that time, my compelling reasons, like we just recently worked on yours, my compelling reasons for working were, how could I do the least and get the most so I could retire? My goal was to retire. Figured I'll make enough money and I'll just retire. I want to do that by the time I'm 25. That was my goal. My goals and my beliefs, the reasons for doing things, changed radically. And it became, how can I give the most, how can I contribute the most, and enjoy the process? That's why I'm here right now. That one little belief change is the difference between who I was then and who I am now. There were many beliefs that changed along the way, obviously. But that was probably one of those critical ones, changing what's going on behind me. Hey, I got a question for you. Think about it. How hard would you really work if you absolutely knew? How hard would you work in this course to really master this stuff, to stay present, to take notes, to manage your state if you've been sitting for a while? How hard would you really work if you knew that by mastering the tools of influence, of persuasion, that you could literally create, be, do, have everything you want for the rest of your life? If you really believe that in your gut, how hard would you work? Question. How many cold calls would you make? How hard would you prospect? But how many cold calls would you make a day? How many hours would you work a day if you really, in your gut, believed that by making these massive number of calls in this next year, you'd earn all that you wanted to earn in terms of happiness, joy, and money? You'd earn over $1 million in personal income, 7 figures. How many cold calls would you make if capital or money motivates you? My assumption is if you're in sales, it has some level of motivation for you. So $1 million, think about it. How hard would you work? And here's my point. We just finished working on the idea of creating some compelling reasons. Remember I told you that the difference between success and failure is a sense of urgency or compelling reasons. People who really succeed, it's not that they're more intelligent. I'm no more intelligent than anybody else around me. But I have been more successful in the endeavors of business than a lot of my associates, a lot of people that I learned with, a lot of people I studied with. Again, not because I was bright, not because I was great, but because I developed more reasons. I had more of a demand on myself. I had more of a sense of urgency. And all those things came from developing strong goals, but not only strong goals, but the belief that I really could get them and that there were enough reasons for me to get them. That's the difference, because lots of people set goals. So it's not enough to set the goals. You've got to get where you believe those goals will happen. Beliefs are probably the single most important element of what determines what you're willing to try, what you're willing to buy, what you're willing to do, who you'll marry if you marry, whether you have kids, how you're going to live your life, all comes down to your basic core belief systems. many times we don't have what we want in our life just because we have this feeling of certainty that we can't have it, or this feeling of certainty that it's going to be tough. It's like whatever we believe, we make true. There's an old corny phrase that says, whether you believe you can or whether you believe you can't, you're right. I really believe it's true. I mean, think about it. You probably know the story of Roger Bannister, right? The gentleman who ran the 4-minute mile, first human being to ever pull that off. And most of you probably know that for thousands of years, human beings were trying to run a 4-minute mile. And never were they able to really get that done. In fact, the belief system became the human body cannot move that fast. And you probably know that the reason Roger Bannister was able to do that is not because he was so much more physically strong. But what he did is he rehearsed in his mind over and over and over again, running that 4-minute mile successfully, till he felt so certain. That's all a belief is, a feeling of certainty. He felt so certain that he was able to get his body convinced. He was able to persuade his body to do something his body didn't think it could do. And as a result, he ran a 4-minute mile. Human beings' capabilities are directly related to their beliefs. What we're going to do in this program, before we ever talk about influencing somebody else, is we're going to explore your beliefs. What are the beliefs that are keeping you from being and doing and having all that you want? And what are the beliefs that are making your life great? In the areas that you're most proud, in the areas that you feel strongest, what is it that's really working there? What is the belief that's supporting you behind that? And so we're going to explore those and help you to learn how to change your own beliefs. Because you can learn all the sales techniques in the world, and you can learn to do these closes and say all these things, but if you don't learn how to influence yourself and your feeling of certainty about what you're capable of, what you deserve, what the prospect deserves, what your product is, the relationship between, you know, commitment and energy and results, if you don't alter those things, then everything else you're going to learn is going to make a minor shift. The major shift happens when those beliefs change. Then it's like the gates open. And the flow of money, energy, choice, love will happen. Now, what do I mean by a belief? Well, let's think about it. A belief is nothing but a feeling of certainty about what something is going to mean to you. That's all a belief is. In other words, when you say, I believe something, you're saying, I feel pretty certain in my gut that this will mean something to me. Let me be even more specific. Do you recall earlier we said that everything people do, they do for reasons? So let's chunk that down for a second. I said to you that whatever people do, they're doing it out of their desire to achieve or avoid various states. Remember, we said people have two targets, okay? One target is the states of pain and pleasure. In other words, there are certain emotional states we're trying to move away from, and there are certain emotional states that we want to move towards. Does this make sense to you? So the big question in life, the question if you want to motivate people, the big question is, why? We always want to know why people are doing things. Why is the question? It's not enough. If somebody says to me, I want a fast car that'll take me from 0 to 60 in 50 seconds. My question to them is, I say, that's phenomenal. So I agree with them. I'm curious, why? What is it about that you enjoy? And they go, well, I don't know. I enjoy it. It feels good. Okay. When you say, well, are there other things in your life that you like also that are fast? They go, yeah, I like to have fastest. And so what I begin to do is find out a little bit behind them. Somebody says, I want to trip around the world. I don't assume I know why. I want to know why, which means I want to know what are their beliefs. What do they feel certain? They feel pretty certain that a trip around the world is going to give them. And then they'll begin to tell me. I feel certain that if I do that, it'll give me, let's say, adventure. Okay? And it also keep me from being bored. Maybe boredom is something they don't want to experience. So they think, God, by going this trip, I don't have to feel bored anymore, and I have adventure. I now know key elements in how to motivate them to do other things as well. Does that make sense? In other words, I know that if I'm going to motivate them to do things, that one of their hurts is probably what? Boredom. That one of the pleasures they want is probably what? Adventure, or in this person, let's say, family or acceptance. So the bottom line is, we need to know this about us. But what you actually do in a given situation is based on your belief that if I do X, if I X, then Y will happen. So if I go on a trip, then I'll enjoy myself. You know, some people don't want to go on a trip around the world. Why would somebody not want to go on a trip around the world? The answer is they believe, God, if I go on a trip around the world, I'm going to have to schlep all this stuff. And plus, I'll probably get bit by a rattlesnake. If they go on a trip on the world, I mean, I've done that once before, and it just, you know, it wasn't what it was cut out to be. I didn't know anybody. I couldn't speak the language. You know, the food wasn't any good. Couldn't find McDonald's. Right? So you get the idea of what I'm saying. See, we want to study other people. I'm showing you this right now. But the person who we've got to really understand the core of is you. You've got to find out what are your beliefs, because some of your beliefs, I would hazard a guess, are limiting you from going for things.